Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you. You are so good. You are kind. You are loving. And you are God. You rule and reign supreme. And when you speak, we are to listen. And God, I pray that as we read your word, that you will give us hearts that want to hear what you are saying, and that you will help us want to be closer to you and to know you better, and that you'll draw us to yourself. Pray that your word will work in us as we read it, and that it would be living and powerful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, flip over to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. We're working our way through the latter half of Colossians, and just, I say this every week, but by way of reminder, just kind of setting the stage, the context, this is the part of the book where the Apostle Paul is telling them and us, this is what it looks like to live a Christian life. These are the different parts of your character and your practices and our daily walk, just the way we're supposed to live if we're Christ followers, if we're Christians, if Jesus is the Lord of our lives, if we've been saved. So let's look at verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. This is a verse that, at first glance, I thought, well, we'll just combine it with all the other prayer verses that are kind of around it, because then he takes, you know, prayer and uses that as the kind of a segue into the next verse. But he's talking about something different in that next verse. And the more that I thought about it and prayed about it, the more I thought, you know, we need to take a little bit of time for this verse and think about what he's saying here, because this is something I think that maybe we don't need. I need to let this sink in and absorb into me. Let me ask you a question. How much do you pray? Like in your normal daily life, meal prayers are good, but they don't count as much for the purpose of this question. Although they're good, valid prayers. How much do you pray? How much time do you spend talking with your Heavenly Father? Just in a normal day, like minutes. Don't answer. I know I'm dragging out the question. I'm not trying to get you to verbally answer back, but just think about it. How much, if you were to quantify, I probably pray this many minutes. And then, and this is mean to do, but how much time is there a screen that you're looking at? Not work screens, but like Facebook screens or television screens, minute-wise. That's mean to do, isn't it? To ask those two questions, one right after another, because while some of us might say, well, I don't ever really look at Facebook or TV, and I pray minutes. I count my time in prayer by hours every day. So that would be, that's wonderful if you would respond that way. But I suspect that most of us fall in the category of when I start summing up the amount of time that I pray in a normal day, not a normal day when I'm thinking about prayer, because on Sunday I'm going to be preaching a verse on prayer, so every day I've kind of been thinking about prayer this week, but on a normal day, how much do I pray? That's kind of a convicting / make me feel bad question almost. Feel that? And I'm not asking the question, and I wrote this in my notes because I wanted to make sure to say it. I'm not asking that question to make us feel bad. That's not the purpose of that. If you say, I can't count meal prayers, so all the other prayers? Yeah, there's not a lot of minutes that I pray, and I'm on Facebook all the time. If you're on that side of the question, of the equation, I'm not asking that in this way to make us feel bad. Guilt us into praying. That's always good motivation. I just want to start that this way just to show us collectively how much we need this text, and that this text that we're going to look at today actually is something that it would behoove us to just take a moment and breathe. And say, I'm going to let this sink into me because I need what this is saying, because Maybe you don't, but I can say I don't do this in the way that I should. So I need to be challenged from this text. This is what we're going to be talking about today. And you know, if you think about it, if you say I don't pray as much as I should, I don't. And Why? Well, it's not because we don't know we should, right? We know we should pray. We know that it's a good thing to pray. We know that that God listens when we pray, and we get to talk to God, and we know all of that. But it's almost like we just forget to do something that we know should be a pretty regular part of our life. It just kind of we forget about it. And you have those moments when you're reading something in the Bible. Maybe you're reading in the morning, you're reading one of Paul's epistles, and he says, "I pray always for you." And you go, "Ooh, pray always. I need to pray more." You know, when we have those moments, I should pray more. Why isn't it prayer a bigger part of our lives? And I'm talking in general terms, because you might say it's a huge part of my life, and in which case, wonderful. But in general terms, why isn't prayer a bigger part of our lives? Isn't it because we can sometimes forget things that should just be routine bits of our lives, things that we know we should do, like we should always do this, and I just kind of always forget to do that, but I should. Normal people always do that. So do you have something you always forget to do that you know you should do? And I hope your answer isn't brush my teeth. That would be a bad answer to that question, right? I mean, for me, it's washing the car. I'm a horrible car keeper, cleaner person. I don't vacuum it. I don't take the trash out of it. I don't clean it. I love getting in a car that's just been cleaned. That feeling of, oh, there's no dirt on the seats and there's no sand on the floor. I love that. But my whole life I've been horrible at doing that. It's something I know I should do. It should just be a normal part of my routine, and I don't do it unless you ask me to lend you my car. Then I'll, oh, goodness, before I give you the keys, let me take a minute and I get in, you know, shape for another normal person to look at it. We forget stuff that we should do, and that's what happens with prayer, I think. We know we should. We know it should just be a part of our life. We know we should pipe up and say, "Well, I'm on Facebook like this much, but I pray." It's actually more than that. The prayer is just a normal part of how I live, but we forget to do it. And the text today reminds us this is supposed to be a regular part of our lives. This is supposed to be something that we always do. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thankfulness, steadfastly, prayer, watchful, thankfulness. There's some big words in that, and they all drive us to this big idea that God's children always are talking with their Father, or should always be talking with their Father. God's children are supposed to be just in a continual conversation with their Father. That's what this text drives me to. Look at what he says to be steadfast. And be steadfast in prayer. He says, be steadfast in prayer. Look over at Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It's almost like the same thing, just different words. He says, pray without ceasing. That was always one growing up that I looked at. I was like, pray without ceasing. I believe in reading the Bible literally. So that means always praying? Like literally always praying? How would you even do that? But it's this idea that we're supposed to pray. We're always supposed to be talking to God. We're supposed to set that direction and then just go down that path and always do it. It would be like if I got in the habit of washing my car every day and vacuuming it out every single day, and I just did, and I just went down. That's what he's saying. We're supposed to just be in a habit of, this is what I always do. I pray. It implies that we start praying regularly, and then it implies that he's saying, continue doing that. Continue down that path. That's what you should always do. Start and never stop. So what's the thing we're supposed to do? Well, it says it's continue steadfastly in prayer. It's continue steadfastly in prayer. So what is prayer? Oh, good night. Is this like a little kid's Sunday school class? I learned this when I was three. I think as we get older and more focused, and I loved what Dave said about idols, we get focused on our own lives and our own comfort and me being happy in the here and now, and I want to live my best life now, and God exists to make me happy and to give me what I want and to make my problems disappear. And if you look at prayer, you know, lists, many times it's a collection of make us healthy and happy and comfortable and prosperous in this life. And of course, there are verses in the Bible that say pray for those things, but that's not the majority. In fact, as we'll see next week, that's not but the majority of what the example in the biblical text is of us to pray for. It's not to go to God and say, I need this. It's almost like we can get into the habit of seeing prayers like a spiritual ATM, where I really don't think about going to the ATM until I need money, but then when I do, I go there and I put my card in and I expect to get back what I'm asking for. And we go to God and say, now I have a problem. I need you to solve it in this specific way. You know those prayers where we say, God, this is happening, as if he didn't know. Now, would you please do this, this, and this, and thank you. I mean, we might throw in a thank you, and never a, but your will, not mine, because that would open the gate to maybe not getting what I'm asking for from that ATM. Or it's like, you know, the birthday party with the piñatas. Is that a cross-cultural thing or not? Is that an example for tonight? Okay, so you know that you've seen piñatas, right? And they get beat on with the stick, and then they rain down blessings, candy, on the people below them. And so it's almost like, you know, we can see prayer as like the piñata stick. And we're just, you know, when I need something, I want my candy now. I'm not happy, and so make me happy and give me what I want. Prayer is not that. It's not a way to manipulate God. It's not a way that if I say the magic words in the magic way, Jesus' name, so now you got to do it. It's not a way to manipulate God, and he has to do now what I'm telling him to do. Prayer is conversing with God. It's talking to our Creator. And as such, that's something everybody can join in. Everyone can talk to God. But there's also a subcategory of prayer. It's not just talking to our Creator. If you're God's child, if you're in Christ, if you've repented and been baptized and decided to give Jesus your life, then it's talking to your Father. And prayer is talking with not just your Creator, but your Father who loves you as his child. And it's taking everything we have inside to him. Well, it's our petitions, but it's our emotions and our doubts and the things that we're not, that aren't right and we're not feeling good about, and our questions and our thankfulness. It's taking everything and talking to God. And so when we know, okay, I need to talk to God more, it's something that we hear a message like today and you say, okay, I need to do that more. So we start doing it, but the need for this verse is the fact that we could start praying and then we don't continue always. We could start doing it. Something happens, you know. Have you ever had those moments when life is just not good? Maybe there's something really bad happening in your life where you just don't feel right, and you start talking to God more in those moments. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's God screams at us in our pain. That's, I think, a C.S. Lewis quote. I don't want to appropriate words that aren't my own. It's good to talk to God when things are not going well. But then we start doing it, but then we just like, whew, we forget to continue. That's why he says continue steadfastly in prayer. So why don't we continue? Think about that. Why don't we keep going? Why don't we always make prayer just that I'm talking to God? I should talk with my Father. I get to talk with my Father more. Why isn't that as natural as talking to everybody else in Facebook? We don't have to think about that or remind ourselves to do it. We don't get tired or bored of doing that. Actually, I'm not active on Facebook, so I'm imagining from what I observe, just, you know, like everywhere else, I'm imagining that's the way it is. But with prayer, it's almost like sometimes we feel like it doesn't work. And I know you expect a lightning bolt to come down right now, right? But you know when you've prayed for the same person like three or four times, and they still haven't become a Christian, and they're still rebelling against God and ruining their lives, and you say, I prayed about it. Why? And then it's just kind of, I don't know, we lose the motivation to keep praying for the same thing. Or maybe sometimes for me, I get tired. It requires a sense of a bit of willpower to pray. And it's so much easier to do literally anything else. I'm driving in the car, and I know I could pray with my eyes open. I had that, you know, epiphany when I was a little child. So, okay, I don't have to close my eyes unless I'm in the table with my parents. But so I can have my eyes open, so I can pray while I'm driving. But the radio is right there, one little button, maybe just one, two songs, and now I'm at the place where I'm at. It takes willpower. So it, sometimes, and for me, it's I forget. When I come across verses like this in the Bible, I frequently in my life have the experience of reading a verse like this and going, oh, I need to pray more. I've forgotten to pray as much as I should. I know I should, but I don't. And so he says, what? Continue steadfastly. Persevere. It's one word. He turned it into two. Continue steadfastly. Keep going. So how do we persevere in prayer? Well, how do we continue steadfastly? One, it's, and this is the obvious one, right? It's just to always pray, to start and never stop, to pray whether we feel like praying or not. I'm lazy or not. I'm not going to let my finger turn the radio on. I'm going to pray first. I'm just going to continue doing it. I'm going to connect my mind with God. I'm going to talk with Him. And the other part of praying, continue steadfastly, isn't it praying the same things over and over again? Like what Jesus gave the parable of the persistent widow, and he said, you talk to God over and over again. He's your Father. He loves you. He'll give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. You ask Him over and over and again. Be persistent in prayer. We pray for the same people over and over and over again. Say, God, would you save that person? And 3 years go by, and you're still saying, God, would you please save that person? Would you change that person's heart? Would you draw them to repentance? And you don't see anything for years. And he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Keep praying for the same thing over and over and over again. Say, God, do your will in your time. But I'm asking you that this would be your will. I'm asking you that you would touch this person's heart, that you would do this, that you would work in this situation. And while I'm asking you that, I'll be obedient in that situation. I continue in this job that is not, it's not what I want it to be, but please would you work? Would you open other doors? Would you, I continue talking to that person even though I don't see them opening up to the gospel. Would you please open their heart? And I'm just going to keep asking as often as I can. And I'm going to keep talking to that person. I'm going to do my part, and I'm just going to ask you over and over again. I'm going to continue it, and I'm going to continue steadfastly in prayer. And then look at the second phrase, being watchful in it. Being watchful. And what is that? Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Being watchful. That word watchful, doesn't it bring a sense of working at it? Like focusing on it, giving yourself to it, making it like something that you do, not just amen, but something that you're like, you're involved in, you're focused on. I'm gonna always be talking to God, and I'm gonna do it with my mind engaged and my heart engaged, and I'm gonna think about what I'm saying, and I'm gonna work at it. I'm gonna really just get in there, and I'm gonna make it something that I consciously do. It's gonna require effort from me to do this. That's what it's saying, and that comes up against another reality that we face, which is a lot of times I think. Maybe I'm just confessing my own stuff here, and this is not relevant to anyone else, but a lot of times it's so easy, at least for me, to pray and not think about what I'm praying. Because, you know, if you've been around church long enough, you know some phrases and you know some things that you can make a good prayer. And so even when I'm by myself praying, I can kind of say the same things and not think about them. And it's not that the same things are bad, because you pray the same things normally, maybe with different words, but it's the thinking about it. It's I get distracted and I'm still talking to God, but I'm thinking about this other thing that I have to do. And then after that, and then, oh yeah, and it's the distraction. It's the putting our focus on it. It's saying words to God, but not interacting with Him. And what is prayer? It's talking with our Father. It's conversing with God. And, you know, when you're talking with another person that's important, say a spouse or a significant other, is it ever acceptable to talk with the person without, you know, you're in the conversation, words are coming out of your mouth, words are going into your ears, but you're not involved, and you know that you're not involved. The person could say, "What did I just say?" And you say, "Haven't learned the trick of memorizing the last five words always to repeat it back. I don't know what. I'm not involved in that this conversation. I wasn't really talking. I was kind of watching what was on TV and just saying yes at the right time. That's not conversating. That doesn't count. If you're the other person in that conversation, that's not working at it. That's not being watchful in it. And he says, being watchful in it, it's working at it. So how do we work at praying? How do we pray with dedication and devotion and giving ourselves to it? And I think we find the answer in three questions, which is what, when, and how. It'd start with the when question. So if I'm going to work at praying, when do I pray? This is a practical part. This is kind of in place of the application. This is the practical part. How do I work at praying? It's when do I do it? When do I enter into that moment of working at it? It's being watchful kind of has a sense to it of always being involved in it, of always being, you know, who's watchful? Like if you're thinking of a scene and like this person should be watchful, like the person who's the watchman at night, right? He's supposed to be watchful. He's supposed to be engaged. It's not when should he be watchful? Well, the whole time that he's the watchman, that's when he should be watchful. So if you bring that over to prayer for us, being watchful is kind of, we should always, when should we work at it like this? Well, we should always be engaged in it. It's just something we should always be doing. It's something we could do in private and in public. You could be praying right now with your eyes open and no one's the wiser. You could pray in private. Jesus said, go into your closet, right, and close the door. Go into a room with a door and close the door, and you and God by yourself. You could pray in public, as Jesus did many times. You could pray in your mind to God when other people are around. When do we pray? If I'm being watched, if I'm working at praying, to me, I have to start my day talking to God. Otherwise, I completely forget the rest of the day. And a lot of times I forget in the morning, but I have to start the day talking to God. And why wouldn't we end the day talking to God? And then why wouldn't we talk to God throughout the day if we're being watchful in prayer, if we're working out, if we're focusing on it? It's creating the habit of always talking to God in those moments when our mind is disoccupied. Maybe you're doing something with your hands at work, and your mind is disoccupied. It's training ourselves to, instead of just letting our mind wander, this would be a good time for me to have a conversation with God in my mind. And for some of us, that's easier than others. For I'm on the hard side of doing that. I'll go running, and my mind is really unoccupied at that moment. So I'll try to, I try to pray when I run. And I struggle because I'll start talking to God, and then all of a sudden, I realize it's like I drifted off and fell asleep because I'm just like thinking about other stuff, and I bring it back. But being watchful in prayer is finding, just always looking for the moments where we could be talking to God. It's how do we be watchful, and for how do we pray like that? It's a lot of it has to do with focus, being watchful in prayer, focusing on it. So it's separating our minds and ourselves from a noise and screens especially. I don't think screens were mentioned in the Bible because they didn't have them, but if they would have had them, they would have talked about them. It's like, you got to turn off the screens. You got to turn off the little noisemakers in the car. You got to turn off stuff that with words that gets in your mind, and you have to, like Jesus said, go by yourself in your room and close the door. You have to talk to God. And the Bible is full of us using our bodies as we talk with God. Jesus, the kneeling down, Paul says, with hands raised as you pray, like children. He didn't say this part. I'm saying this part. With like children raising their hands to their father in need. We pray with our voice. We pray in our mind. We pray with our heart. Everything we are can be involved as we're praying, as we're talking to God. And then if we're to be watchful in prayer, the last question is what? What do we pray? What's the stuff that we pray? Because I know the prayers that I learned, because that's what I always repeated when I was younger. I mean, we don't have formal prayers, right? But we have, you know the meal prayer and the end of church prayer. And there's the different, you know, prayers that you could rotely pray if you wanted to. But what are we supposed to pray? Well, he specifically says something, and I don't think it's exclusive to everything or inclusive. I don't think this is the only thing we're supposed to pray, but look at what he says. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So how do we be watchful in prayer? He says, well, the content of our prayer, it needs to include thanksgiving. Not the only thing we pray, but maybe it's because by default, when we talk to God, we start asking for stuff. It's like, you know, kids around Christmas time. Every conversation is, I want this and I want that and I want, and so he doesn't have to remind us to ask God for things and to lay our hearts out and our struggles and everything we're feeling out. But he does say, remember to say thank you for everything God has given you, you specifically and y'all in general. Just be thankful to God. Make that a huge part of your prayers. And if you start praying and you're thanking God, and you start just saying thank you for this and for that and for this and for this person, and all of a sudden you're out of time, and now you have to go back into work, and there's no more time to be talking to God, and you didn't get asked for anything. That's not a bad prayer. That's a good prayer. He said, be thankful as you're praying. What else do we pray for? Well, use the model that Jesus gave us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We should include praise and gratitude in our prayers. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should pray that God's stuff, the stuff God wants, happens. That should be the content of our prayers. God, would you save that person? Would you change my heart? Would you change this other person's heart? Would you change my child's heart? Would you draw these people to you? Would you grow the church? Your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread. So Jesus is saying, ask for the stuff that you need. He's your Father. He's not going to give you a stone if you need bread. Ask for what you need. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who offended us. We're to confess. We're to forgive as we pray. That's supposed to be part of our prayers. We're not supposed to go to God and say, I need, I need, I need, and thank you. And we're supposed to go to God and say, I'm weak, and I did that, and I said that, and I had that attitude, and if we're a Christian, you can save. And thank you, Father, because in the cross, I'm forgiven. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We're supposed to ask for guidance and protection. It's not just, God, do this, and I need this to happen. It's make what you want to happen, happen. Lead me where you want me to be, and for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're supposed to profess the big stuff that we believe about God as we pray. It's not just, come, give me what I need. It's, you're the great king of the universe. We're supposed to remember that as we're praying, and because that changes us as we walk away from our prayer. So what do we actually pray for when we are watchful in prayer? Depends. I think the content comes from a couple of different places. It can come from the actual stuff we say. It comes from what we're going through and what we're feeling in that moment. It's in this moment I'm just talking to God. And it also can come from us having specific stuff that we pray for over and over again. I want to share something with you before we're done today. And this is something that is just the most, has been the most helpful thing to me in prayer. I don't know where I got it from. I didn't think of it myself. Nothing good that I do or say is ever from myself. It's not original. But several years ago, started doing this, and I let it down a couple times, and then finally I started again. And actually, it's with this one. So, then, if you want to pass those out while we're talking, so I wrote down a little notebook. I said prayers. And I think I said 2015. So the beginning of 2015 is when I started this one. And I just started writing down stuff and people's names, stuff that I need, like in me, stuff that I know is not right in myself. That's why I wouldn't, well, it's in Spanish, so I write in Spanish. So that's why it's, I guess you could see it because it wouldn't matter. But there's personal stuff in there. There's stuff that I don't really share with anybody, but I just write, you know, I try to do like a line each, and would you save this person? And I try to do specific requests, stuff that, you know, when God answers it, I know. It's like when my son got baptized a couple months ago, I crossed it out and put a date. And every time I go past that one, I try to say thank you. It's like, you did that. And then over time, what happens is, if you, and maybe you have a different system, so use your system. This is not like a Bible-inspired system. It's just, this is, I found incredibly helpful. So that's why, you know, take the notebook. If this would be helpful for you, give it a shot. But I try to write stuff down, and that's a very specific request. And then when it's answered, I cross it off. And I find myself praying through it. And as time has gone on, the list gets longer because God brings more people into our lives. And there's people at the beginning of this that I've been praying for several years, and they're still not Christians. And sometimes I have moments where I'm just like, I'm not going to keep praying, that God knows. I've talked to him a lot about that person. But I just pray through, and I don't get through my whole list now because it's gotten long. I'll just pick up where I left off the next time. And so in the times when I'm not as spontaneous things to say, I pull this out and I just pray, and I try to be disciplined about it. I'm not very disciplined about it. I try to do it every day. I don't pray every day from here. Sometimes I pray once a week, sometimes more. But I try to just regularly pray through the same things over and over again and ask God for them. And then, you know, as things get answered and you could cross lines, and this happened. He did that. He saved that person. He brought that person to faith. That person returned. And then you see, as God works, you see him doing what his people are asking him to do and working in people. And it's an incredible thing to see. It's a very faith-building thing. So take the notebook. If you don't have a prayer system, I would strongly encourage you, just start writing stuff down and then praying through it, and just let stuff build up over time. You don't have to write one thing down, start off with. You don't have to make a huge, huge list, but it becomes an incredible testimony as you pray and you see what God has done. So I have a question for you. What's your next step? If we are to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, what's your next step? Maybe if you're not a Christian, you're hearing about talking to God as our Father. You say, I can talk to God because I do talk to God, but I know he's not my Father. I know I'm not his child. I know I don't have peace with God. Talking about this is an invitation for you to come to God and repent and be baptized and decide that you're going to give yourself to Jesus and follow him, that he will be the Lord of your life. When you make that decision, come out of the water. God is your Father, and his Spirit dwells within you, and you're his child, and you can pray now and talk to your Father when you pray. In this community, if you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. If you are a Christian, I don't know what to ask you other than, how can you talk more with your Father? How can you incorporate that more in your day? How can you talk to him more than you are right now? How can you be more persistent and more consistent in talking to him? I'm saying you, but I really mean me, because I have to answer that, and I would encourage you to answer that as well. Why don't we stand, we'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you that you invite us to talk to you, and you command us to do something that is the most incredible privilege of all. We get to talk to you, the King of the universe, and you listen and you respond and you do things. Not always right away when we start asking, but you do things when your children talk to you. So God, I pray that you would help us to be a people who talk to you more and more. And that until we see you face to face, that we are always growing in how much we talk to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.